From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kassel, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Great to be back with you. We got a great show for you today, mainly because each and every one of us is incredibly excited to have Hall of Fame baseball player Cal Ripken Jr. join us later to play Not My Job. Given his extraordinary grit and determination, his refusal to quit ever, we expect today's show will last at least until March. So make yourself comfortable. Give us a call, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Julie Kramer-Greb from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, how are things in Portland?
Remarkably dry.
Really? Which is rare for Portland.
Indeed.
Now, Portland has acquired a number of stereotypes over the last few years. Are you tattooed, pierced, and unemployed?
Yes, yes, no.
Oh! Well, good for you. Well, welcome to the show, Julie. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Ms. Faith Saley is right here.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Faith.
Julie, what does your tattoo say?
It says nothing. It's just a turtle.
Oh, okay.
Sort of a, I'm 18, I can do whatever I want to, Mom, tattoo.
So screw you, Mom. Here's this turtle.
Next, it's a deputy editor and blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Kiri.
I'm sure it's a very nice turtle.
And making his debut on our show, it's a comedian and host of The Morning Amp on Vocalo.org, Mr. Brian Babylon.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Brian.
Julie, welcome to the show. You are going to play Who's Carl this time? Carl Kassel is going to read you three quotes from the week's news, of course. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your own home answering machine. You ready to play?
Oh, yes.
All right. Here is your first quote.
Maybe we do need to do something that indicates that we're not afraid to sit next to each other, that there are no cooties.
That was Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. She was talking about the decision that everyone made to sit together at what event?
The State of the Union.
Exactly right. Yes, the State of the Union. Very good. The most interesting thing about the speech was, in fact, the seating arrangements, with Democrats sitting with Republicans to show civility. But it was a one-time deal. Did you see this? As soon as the speech was over, they fled back to their respective sides, heads down, a kind of Congress-wide walk of shame.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there. Oh, man.
I was riveted by, I think the prom king and queen were Kristen Gillibrand. John Thune.
Oh, yeah.
They're so hot. They were the hottest couple.
Cute.
And
I totally
course, they sat next to each other.
Yeah.
They, just like in Congress, like in high school, they seek each other out.
Yeah.
You know what I want to say? I want to say what I got out of the speech was when I've been using this line at the bars, is a Sputnik moment.
A Sputnik moment.
That was my line. You know, we are in a Sputnik moment.
When you say in the bars, what do you mean, bro?
Oh, no. When I, that's my new come on line to the ladies.
Really?
Yeah.
This is my Sputnik moment?
Yeah, well, I say, I talk like the president, like, you and I can have a Sputnik moment. And hey, if you do it like that,
yeah.
If you say it like that, yeah.
She might just fire off your rocket, Brian.
Exactly.
We're there.
We're there.
We're there.
You know, national security really depends on this, you say.
Yeah.
We could win the future at least. You know.
Tonight.
Exactly.
I mean,
we'll settle for tonight.
There will be a walk of shame, but we will have a Sputnik moment.
There was one moment that did get a lot of attention when the president made John Boehner cry. Did you see this?
Yeah.
He was talking, he was addressing, you know, the fact that John Boehner had grown up, started sweeping the floors in his father's bar. And you just know Obama did this on purpose. In fact, you could see him, like, turn to his staff and go, "Watch this."
Joe Biden was so much fun to watch. It was like he had an earpiece in and someone was telling him jokes. He was laughing and having the best time, and he's like winking at his friends in the audience.
I think Joe Biden has the best time wherever.
He does.
We were talking about this. It was like he and Boehner were like the comedy and tragedy masks behind him. Hee 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 ha. Hee 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 ha. All right, here, Julie, here is your next quote.
Okay.
I want to thank the Tea Party Express for inviting me to speak this evening. I'm here at their request and not to compete with the official Republican remarks.
That was somebody who was not competing, with the official Republican remarks in her unrequested rebuttal. Who was it?
Michelle Bachmann.
Yes, indeed.
Good job. But you know what, Peter, when I was watching her, you know, the whole thing is that she couldn't, you know, keep the eyes on the camera. She looked sort of like a broke Stepford wife, a little bit, that had the optics.
She needed to be rebooted.
She needed to do a little reboot.
The official Republican rebuttal to the State of the Union address was given by Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, who spoke of the need to, oh my God, what is wrong with Michelle Bachmann's eyes? Because Bachmann followed the official GOP response with her own Tea Party response, in which she talked about how Obama was bankrupting the country, but nobody listened, because, as Brian said, the entire time she was staring somewhere to the right of the camera. What was she looking at? Was she looking at cue cards? Was she looking at the angel that only she can see that tells her what to say? Interestingly, this is online, almost every TV network refused to carry the speech, finally answering the question, how crazy do you have to be these days to not get national TV coverage? So henceforth, the difference between colorfully opinionated and, oh my God, we must protect our viewers from this madness, will be known as the Bachmann line.
This is what I don't understand. What's the difference between Tea Party and Tea Party Express? It sounds really low rent, like when you're at the airport and you go to Wolfgang
Express.
Outlet mall.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the food court of,
yeah.
of
Tea Party Express.
Parties.
Well, the Tea Party Express is actually a sort of a political organization run by a Republican consultant to try to organize and raise money to do various things.
But I don't get it, because Holiday Inn Express is supposed to make you smarter.
Thus the commercials. Here is your last quote, Julie.
It isn't meat. Oh, the horror.
That was a writer in the San Francisco Chronicle talking about the big news this week that what fast food chain was serving beef that was really only 36% beef?
I have no idea.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Put down the chalupa and back away from it.
Toxic hell. Taco Bell.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, wait, did she say Toxic Bell?
Yes, I did.
That's hilarious. I want to use that. That's
good news. Taco Bell is safe for you if you are a 64% vegetarian. A class action lawsuit filed this week claims that what Taco Bell calls seasoned beef is really a Mexican slurry of just 36% meat with seasoning, soy, oats, potassium, phosphate, cornstarch, and an anti-kicking agent. Which, let's be honest, is not nearly as bad as what we were all thinking was in there. The lawsuit, and this is true, does not ask for any money, just for the company that owns Taco Bell, called Yum Brands, to change its name to Yuck. Yum did not take this lying down. They responded forcefully. They argued it's all lies. They say that their seasoned beef is really 85% meat. This is their claim, their defense. The rest, they say, is spices and seasonings, quote, just like you would use with any recipe you cook at home, unquote. So here's their recipe for tacos at home. 2 pounds ground beef and 1/4 pound of whatever is in your kid's chemistry kit.
You know what I don't like about that? In the commercials, they sort of seem like they're grilling the beef in skillets.
Yeah.
And it comes out of a meat hose. And no one wants to talk about that.
It's delivered in vast pressurized meat vats.
Yeah.
God,
I want a meat hose.
I'm never gonna be the person I was before hearing the phrase meat hose. I can't go back.
You can't get your innocence back.
But after a long night of boozing, Peter.
After your Sputnik moment or before?
After, well, no, you don't do a,
That's what
a
we call splashdown.
Yeah, that's what we don't want.
Carl, how did Julie do in our quiz?
Very, very well, Peter. Julie, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail. Congratulations.
Well done.
Thank you,
Julie.
Bye, Julie.
Thanks, guys.